Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Miss Karen's a little under the weather this morning, so we traded weeks. Are there any general announcements to begin with?
Think the youth have something Saturday, so some of them need to tell about it. There, Miss Pam is.
I'm here. Our spaghetti dinner is Saturday night. We're starting at 6 and it's going to be
Are there any other general announcements? Oh, yeah, Terry.
Session will meet tonight, 6 o'clock. Christian Ed Committee,
4 o'clock.
We're not having any official meetings tonight because last night.
Okay.
Not official meetings, but you know, some of them said they're coming to hang out. So, but I won't be here.
Okay. Jonna? Sharon?
Next month we're going to be having our barbecue with Southwest and and we want to ask anyone if they're taking those presents that people talk to about and said, what in the world are they thinking? If you might donate some salad and place Tom, Sherry, or me and the glass has an opportunity.
A re-gift, huh? Linda?
The Buttercup Festival in the Historic District is 4 weeks from yesterday. We still need some vendors. We need some
Okay, Lisbeth. Anything else as far as general announcements? first-time visitors. We've already met some first-time visitors. Pam's already introduced Patrick and Chelsea. Are there any others? Prayer or praise request.
Jerry's friend, Ed, last name. John Rippey's father had another stroke. It's Robert Rippey.
Pam.
Jerry's in sophomore at Brentwood. I got a text message last night from one of my kids. There's a sophomore in at Brentwood High School. Her name is Alicia Mott. That she found out yesterday that she had leukemia. So this is another one. I don't know what's going on. It's just really. We have 30 kids this year with some kind of cancer or leukemia, which is really neat.
Pastor to Bowling Green Church, Steve DeLashamet, his wife passed away this week in her 50s. Surgery, and after the surgery, something didn't go right.
Linda. Terry. Elizabeth? Are there any others? If there are no others at this time, let's please pause for a moment of silence to prepare our minds for worship. If you will please stand, we will start with our call to worship, and it is responsive. From east to the west, may the name of the Lord be praised.
Praise ye the Lord.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised.
Praise ye the Lord.
In the difficult moments of our lives, may the name of the Lord be praised.
Praise ye the Lord.
In moments of great joy, may the name of the Lord be praised.
Praise ye the Lord.
When courage summons us to sacrifice, may the name of the Lord be praised.
Praise ye the Lord.
Even when life would take us to a cross, may the name of the Lord be praised.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Turn to the hymn 113. We came here to praise the Lord today. 113.
I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise His holy name. I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to thank the Lord. I just came to thank the Lord. I just came to praise His holy name. I just came to thank the Lord. I just came to love the Lord. I just came to love the Lord. I just came to praise His holy name. I just came to praise the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God, You call us to offer praise to You. And Lord, You want us to praise You in all circumstances as well as offer thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, we pray that You would so abide in us and move in us that we could give praise to You. Lord, we come with many hurts and pains and many needs, many concerns, much sickness. Lord, we come hearing about the cross today. And Lord, we pray for You again. We ask that You would so move in us, that You would move us to look beyond the difficulties of life and offer You praise in adoration. Thank You for calling us to be Your people. Thank You for calling us this day from the world or from out of the comfort of our homes and calling us together to worship You. And Lord, we pray truly that it could be in truth and in spirit. Use this service for Your honor and for Your glory. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, now praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
Time now for the Apostles' Creed. It is on page 716 or up on the screen behind me. And it is responsive, or in unison, rather.
Unison.
I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Our call to confession this morning is taken from Ezekiel 18:30. Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. our prayer of confession is also in unison, if you'd like to follow along.
Gracious God, we want to hold on to what we know. We are afraid to take risks for the sake of the gospel. We want to keep our lives safe. Forgive us, O God, when we cling to comfort, when we build barriers to protect ourselves, when we choose the easy way. Transform our fears that we may deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus to serve the world. Amen.
Amen. Our words of assurance are from Mark and Romans. Those who risk their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ will inherit the world.
With our spinning vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. He died. Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Calvary, by God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Calvary, I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only see Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was her delight to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Love that proved salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God did spend. Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burdened soul found liberty.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If the ushers will please come forward. Miss Sally has gotten us some young ushers, girls. No, she did. That's what I'm saying. Miss Sally did get us some young ushers, three of them.
Thank you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Daylight savings time. We got up early this morning, Nancy and I did, because we came to 8 o'clock service. We have invaded the domain of the hour early animals. We saw 7 deer this morning, and 3 turkeys, and a squirrel. We don't usually see. We invaded their territory this morning. God created a beautiful place. A deer is a very beautiful animal. We enjoyed seeing them, even though we did have to break kind of quickly for about 3 of them. I can't say too much about the turkeys, but He made us. He made us beautifully. He made us wonderfully. Today's song and today's message and Gary's prayer and everything has just worked together today extremely well. The song today is based on the scripture of Jesus and the rich young man, or rich young ruler, some call him. And some of you have heard me tell tales before that I call the Red Sea Rolls, not necessarily the Dead Sea Scrolls, but my stories come from the Red Sea Rolls, which I invented. Jesus, the rich young ruler, came to Jesus and said, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He named off some, and the young ruler said, "Well, all these I've kept from my youth. I've been a good boy." Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Sell all you own and give it to the poor, and come and follow me." The rich young ruler went away with his head down because he had great riches. Now, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. The rich young ruler is going down the road, and a man comes up to him and says, "I want to buy that piece of property you got down there by the Sea of Galilee." The rich young ruler said, "You can't afford it. I can't sell it to you because you can't afford it." What do you mean I can't afford it? I'm one of the richest men in this area. How can I not afford that piece of property? I want to put an amusement park down there. No. So you see that guy over there teaching? He just offered me eternal life for it, and I turned him down. Let's don't turn Jesus down. There was a man who lived all his life observing God's commands, but the things on this earth were important to him: money, houses, and lands. He heard about Jesus and his teaching, so he went to see him one day. Jesus said, "Take your cross and follow me. Give it all away. Give it all away. Follow him today. Nothing can take his place in our lives. Follow him today. Give it all away. Follow him today. He has everything that we desire, so follow him today." Jesus is still alive today. He's calling to you and me. He's standing at the door and knocking. He's waiting patiently. But we're so happy with modern things, our life is easier every day. "What are we going to do?" he says. "Give it all away. Give it all away. Follow him today. Nothing can take his place in our lives. Give it all away. Give it all away. Follow him today. He has everything that we desire, so follow him today. Give it all away. Follow him today. Nothing can take his place in our lives. Follow him today. Give it all away. Follow him today. He has everything that we desire, so follow him today. And give it all away. Follow him today.
And do we have a teacher for children's church, Miss Jonna? So after children's time, you may go to children's church with Miss Jonna.
I'm never very good. I don't have anywhere to put this thing. Hold on just a second. There we go. There we go.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I can't hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Everybody awake? A little bit, maybe? Yesterday, it was a beautiful day. I hope everybody got a chance to get outside. And my daughter and a couple of her friends and their kids and my son and his little girl, they came up to the house. And it was such a pretty day. We got one of the horses out of the field, and we brushed him off because he was nasty. You know, it's mud this time of year. We brushed him, put his saddle on, and the kids wanted to ride him. Now, we had one that had just turned one last October, a little boy. And then we have another one, my little nephew, that's going to be two this month. And then we had Madison, who's 2.5, and we had Kathleen, who will be 3 next month. So we had, you know, a bunch of little ones. But my two have been practicing riding on their fake horses, you know, in the house, their stuffed horses and their rocking horses and stuff. And so they think they know it all. You know, they're ready to go. And they both wanted to take the reins. They didn't want me to help them. They didn't want me to, you know, lead the horse. They wanted to take Tuffy's reins themselves. The only problem they had was they wanted to hold him back, you know. And if you pull back on a horse, they either stand still or start backing up because they can't get their head to go forward. And so, you know, they didn't want me to help, but they wanted to be in control. They wanted, you know, Tuffy to just go as slow as they wanted him to go or not go at all. But they wanted to hold, as Madison said, I want the ropes. So, and don't touch him, Grandma. You know, don't touch him, but I want the ropes. Then Sam wanted his mama to ride with him. They, you know, and that was all right. And so did Elias. They wanted their mamas to ride with them. So it was interesting to see how much they wanted to do it themselves and the degree of help they wanted from others. And I thought about us. We're kind of that way when it comes to the Lord. You know, it tells us in Ephesians 4, starting about verse 17, that it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the world walks, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. So we need to remember when we're trying so hard to be in control, and there's a lot of people right now that are trying real hard to be in control. You know, the economy, I know y'all have heard that, you know, the economy's bad, retirements are going away, people are losing their jobs, you know, I'm one of those, I no longer have a job, but you know what? I'm not in control, and I know that, but not all the world knows that. We need to help the others know, but we also need to keep in mind they don't know, so we can't expect them to know unless we share the truth with them. And Jesus Christ is the truth. And we need to be trusting in Jesus Christ, not in money, not in an economy, not in our government. You know, we have the best government in the world, even though they've, you know, maybe not made some great decisions lately. It's better than other places. Just ask people that have come from other places. But let's remember, the truth and our trust lies in Jesus Christ. And if we're a part of Jesus Christ, we don't act like the rest of the world, right? That's right. So we need to let go of the ropes, let go of the reins, and know he's right here in our heart and walk with him every day. Let's go sing with Miss Melanie.
Follow Jesus, have decided. Follow Jesus, have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Our scripture lesson comes from Mark 8, chapters 27 through 38. Jesus and his disciples went on the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Deborah and Sam and Sally and all the rest who have participated with your singing. I would like to invite you to take a little sheet of paper like this. Even if you're not a child, I hope the children got one, but it's got a picture of Jesus bearing a cross on one side and then a little, "Can you find the path of Jesus?" on the other side. I always like to think if the sermon, if I lose you and you just can't catch up, take out this and draw on it or write yourself notes or something like that. Or maybe pray to Jesus. Maybe pray to Him. Sam sang a beautiful song, "Give It Away." Made me think of Carol's home church pastor. When she was growing up, I believe it was, a guy by the name of Charles Faith. Charles is suffering from Parkinson's now and is not able to function as he once did, but he was one of these never-get-tired person and went and went and went and did and did and did and gave and gave and gave. And one day it was said about him, I might have been encouraging the church to add to his salary, knew that they could, and I'm not sure what the conversation led up to this was, but I've done that often. And one person said, "We can't give him anything, but that he will give it away." And he would. He'd give his last dime to somebody and do without. Even my wife must have caught that from him, because she, if you didn't know that, she's a giving person. We go to a restaurant, I've heard, don't think I've ever seen it, but I've heard that some women will stay behind after they have eaten and their husband has left the tip on the table, and he'll go on to pay the bill. That is, if you go to the register to pay the bill, and the wife will stay behind and pick up the money. You ever seen that happen? I know none of us would do that, would we? Well, Carol is one, and she always says, "Give more, Larry, give more, Larry, give more, Larry." So she caught this. Give it away. So if we end up with not anything to retire on, hopefully somebody will remember that Carol liked to give it all away. And And she has. But we're going to have enough, we hope. If it don't, we'll come and eat with you. That's a testimony to her, testimony to Charles Faith, too. He is a great minister, but he is slowing down, or has slowed down to just past the crawl. But he was a great example for me growing up. The Lenten season. The days are longer. So this morning when we got up, we thought, what happened to the long lengthening of the days? But we'll know tonight, because it won't get dark till way over there, right? We gain an hour. And I've done some math on this in the past, and would you hear it again? If you give up 1 hour this morning, you'll get it back in the afternoon. And then you get it back again tomorrow. And you get it back again the next day. And about, Saturday, you'll have 7 hours that you have received for giving up one. And keep this going till fall, and you will, hours will you have received? You only gave up one, right? You've received so many. And then, sometime in October, you'll get that one back. What an investment. You can't beat it. Just can't beat it. Good math, isn't it? Does it work? Does for me. Okay. The other thing is being Jesus' disciple. Give it away. Can't give enough time away. It'll come back to you. 1 hour, how many do you get? 180 plus? At least. Okay. And then you get that one back. Experiencing Jesus of the Lenten season. We're going to the cross. We don't want to talk about cross. Okay, but we got to if we're going to be Christians. Then we're going past the cross. That happened on Friday. But remember, Sunday came. That was a resurrection. That's the happy day, the glorious day. The Lenten season, the days have become longer. That's been happening since December the 21st or 22nd. I think I mentioned last Sunday. And today, let's talk about experiencing Jesus. And we'll talk about experiencing the grown-up Jesus. I really probably shouldn't mention this movie, but I have done a few other things that I shouldn't have done in the past 40-plus years, so I'll do this one, and hopefully it won't be my downfall. It's a movie out called Talladega Nights. Please don't raise your hand if you saw it, but have any of you seen Talladega Nights? I just watched a little clip, and it was embarrassing. But I had heard about a prayer offered in Talladega Nights, and I went to look at it. You can go in and go to YouTube or something now and get little clips of parts of movies. And so I went to see Talladega Nights, and as I said, I got embarrassed before it was over. And I said, maybe I don't need to mention the name of it, but I was going to say just a movie, and then I got brave somewhere after a night's sleep. And this recent movie had a prayer at the table. And it was a race car driver. And he had been number one. And it was Ricky Bobby. Ricky Bobby. And he could only count to one. Only count to one. Because one was all that meant anything to him. He was a number one race car driver. And if you're not number one, you're last in his mind. He was at the table with his family, his father-in-law, and a friend. Understand that the friend eventually stole his wife, but it wasn't such a good friend. But he was praying, and he said, "Dear baby Jesus," and he went on, and you know, when we pray, we say, "Lord, help us do this," and "Lord and Father, help us with this," and we say Father or Lord to keep him reminded that we're really talking to him throughout the prayer. Lord, help us with this, and Lord, help us with this. Well, he'd say, "Baby Jesus, help us with this. Baby Jesus, help us with this." And he kept saying, "Baby Jesus, we thank you that we've won so many races, and we've received $2-something million, and him and his friend would bump knuckles and everything. And it's funny, that part is. And so, don't look past that, because it gets bad, even the table scene. But he said, now I'll say that, and everybody go look at it, right? Okay, preachers used to get up and say, "Don't go see this movie, it's trash, and every kid in the congregation would go see it. Me included, okay. But and he prayed, baby Jesus. Finally, the wife says, he grew up! Stop! It's not just baby Jesus, he grew up. And somebody else said, yeah, he had a beard, I think father-in-law. And I got in an argument there in the prayer, and he said, I like the baby Jesus. And I don't like the grown-up Jesus. I want to pray to the baby Jesus, and I'm going to. I'm doing the praying, and I'm the number one driver. I can pray to the baby Jesus. But I say all of that to say, this morning we want to move past the baby Jesus. That's an important story. It's a beautiful story. It's part of the gospel lesson. If Jesus hadn't been born, we wouldn't have had the grown-up Jesus. And so, did I say this? Somebody said, he even had a beard. And went on with this. Then it got really bad as they got to arguing over the baby Jesus or the grown-up Jesus. But anyhow, the lesson today brings us face to face, not with the baby Jesus, but with the grown-up Jesus. The grown-up Jesus is on the way to the cross. Now, this lesson, I'm not sure how it fits into the time span of the 3 years, but he indicates that he's on the way to the cross. We find in this, and at the cross there was death. We find in this, that little skinny outline that I did, a question. A question from Jesus. He had been with these disciples a while. We're not even sure how long, but he says, what are people saying about me, fellas? They're probably sitting around and having a cup of coffee. Not at Starbucks, but out in the woods somewhere. What are people saying about me? What kind of impression have I made upon the community? And somebody speaks up and says, well, some think you're John the Baptist. Okay. And the other said, well, some think you're Elijah. See, the Old Testament prophecy is that Elijah will come back and live on the earth. And some think you're the Elijah. And some just think you're one of the prophets. The third one spoke up, or maybe they were speaking in unison. You know, Christians do that a lot, don't they? Unison prayers and unison affirmations. And maybe they both thought at the same time, and they said, wow, some just think you're one of the prophets, and they don't know which one. You're a good teacher, and you speak with prophetic words, and you speak with authority. And so they just think you're one of the prophets. And he says, okay, good, okay. Now he says, let me preface this one with, it's okay what other people say about Jesus, to know that. But the really important thing is what we say about Jesus. And we cannot get into heaven on somebody else's understanding or faith in Jesus. Have to have our own. It's a personal matter. Now, as Christians, even in the Jewish community, it's family or community. Our Father, which art in heaven, and our, it's not my dear Father, it's our Father. Jesus taught us to pray that way. So, but to become a Christian, it's an individual thing. For testimony after testimony, I became a church member when I was 12 years old, and we went through a class, and my friend went through the class, and then all of them joined the church, and I didn't want to be left out, so I went and joined the church, but I didn't understand what was going on, or I really didn't have an experience of trusting Jesus as my Savior, or a salvation experience. Have you heard that one? I've heard it over and over and over. And it's really a personal experience. The relationship between you and Jesus. One song says, me and Jesus got a good thing going. Good thing going. I'm trusting Jesus. But after we become a Christian, we join with others in the family of God, and we're working together. We're in the family. We're Christians together. We're the body of Christ, and each of us are important, and we mean something to each other. We're not separate then. We can't take the coal off the fire and lay it over here because it finally goes out. We need to be joined with other Christians to produce a good fire and warm up the world, if you will, or be the flavoring for the world, salt of the earth, or being the light to the world. Okay. So, Jesus said, because I preface it enough, Jesus said, but now who do you say that I am? Knowing that this was the important part. And Peter spoke up. If you know much about the Apostle Peter and much about the New Testament, Peter was always jumping in there, sometimes saying that he things that I get behind with this, so answer, but an answer from Peter. On your outline, there should have been another question from Jesus, and somehow I left that out. Peter spoke up and said, oh, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. The Christ of God, I think one version says. One gospel says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had an answer. And I got to thinking about how Peter must have responded when he said that. You know, you've been in classroom, all of us have been in a classroom somewhere, and we finally know the answer to a question. We've slid down behind the person sitting in front of us all day long, and finally a question is asked that we know. And the teacher looks at us, and she sees that we know it, or he sees that we know it, and he asks us to answer the question, and we answer and we get it right. And we've been getting questions wrong up until now. And we get it right, and the teacher says, good! And Jesus said to Peter, you got it right, Peter. You're the Christ, or you're the Messiah. Both mean you're the Anointed One. Which version you're reading of the Scriptures. If it's King James or NIV. And he said, you got it right, Peter. And I can see him thinking, wow, look at me. I'm doing good, Anna. You know, and climbed up on that pride pedestal and was just enjoying himself so much, basking in his smartness on that one subject. And I can see the other disciples saying, man, I should have said that. Why does Peter always have to speak first? Why won't he ever let us answer the question? Or he could have been kind of like that girl. I believe it was Little House on the Prairie. There was a smart-aleck little girl that was real smart in that. Do you remember that? And she was always answering the questions and laughing at the kids that didn't know the answer. Was Peter above that? I don't know, but as I think of getting the question right or the answer right, whatever, Matthew... In Matthew's account of this, Mark is the condensed version. I mentioned that last week. Matthew kind of elaborates. But Peter answered the question right, and Jesus said to him, Peter, you've done so good. And he said, let me tell you something, Peter. He said, this is not man's thinking. He said, you're not thinking. He said, God gave that to you. I paraphrased that a bit. But God, Jesus said, God the Father, revealed to you that this was, that I am the Christ of the Savior, the Anointed One, the long promised one, the one that y'all been looking for, and all of Israel have been looking for. And Peter was just basking, I believe. I believe this was what I'm calling a wow moment for Peter. You know, there's wow moments, and then there's OMG moments. Wow. What an experience he had. And I believe it was for the rest of the disciples. The wow part, maybe being from Peter, being able to say it from him, but they said, hey, look who has invited us to be a part of his kingdom and his work. This is the one that's going to overthrow those Romans. This is the one that's going to take a king's seat in Israel. This is the one that's going to throw out all of those appointed leaders or dictators, and he's going to ascend the throne, and things are going to be lovely here in Israel. And we're his friends. And we'll probably get a cabinet post. Do you think they thought that? Wow! We're with Jesus, and he chose us. We must be pretty important people. You think they thought something like that? Very possibly so. when we finally understand who Jesus is, that He is the Savior, that's a wow moment for us, isn't it? And when we finally say, "Here I am, Jesus, I'm trusting You," that's a wow moment, isn't it? Now, some of us may, when we finally understand who Jesus is, we might say, OMG. All the teenagers know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh my God. Or gosh. See, one time some of the disciples were in the presence of Jesus, and He did a miracle. And they became so fearful because He was so holy, they could recognize it, and they were not. And basically they said, "Get away, get away." It was an OMG moment. We're in the presence of holiness, and we're not holy. Could we be stricken down? Can we stand it? Will He know all about us? Well, He know those secret sins. When we finally understand that Jesus is the Savior and that He loves us, and when we finally claim that grace, isn't that a wow moment? Thank You, God. Praise be unto You. Praise and thanksgiving. We can look at this incident in Mark, which we are, and look at it in Luke, and we see that these two writers of gospel only tell us that Jesus instructed them not to tell anyone. But look back at Matthew, and it's Matthew 16. That's where He says, "You done so good, Peter, God revealed this to you." But then in Luke and in Mark, He says, "Just don't tell anybody." And the time wasn't yet ready. It wasn't right to tell at this time. I want to kind of change shift gears. I want you to go back to the 1st of Mark. And one of the pew Bibles, the NIV pew Bible, is a good one for this. The King James that's in the pews doesn't have it. But in many Bibles, there are little headings. Wrong one. Little headings at the top of each little section. And so I went back yesterday, even as late as yesterday, sitting on my couch, and went back to Mark from the 8th chapter, from where we are, back to the 1st. And I found, what had Jesus done during this time? Why did they think He was? Why did they know Him to be the Christ or the Messiah or the Promised One? And I, quickly going through some of the things that He did, He said He had chosen them, or some of them. He had chosen some of them. And He had cast out an unclean spirit. Preached about that some time ago. He went off by Himself to pray. He had done a healing service, if you will. He had appointed the disciples and set some of them apart as apostles, according to some manuscripts in the early part of Mark. I think it's back to the 3rd or 4th chapter. He had done a lot of teaching, and He's taught with authority. He had large crowds that came to follow Him. He had calmed the storm on the sea. He had healed a demon-possessed man. That was cast him out into the pigs. Gadarenes. He had healed a woman with a blood problem. He had raised to life Jairus' daughter who had died. He had been rejected by the people in his hometown. And he had heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded. Died. And John the Baptist was not only his cousin, but he had also been the one who baptized him. That's always an important person in your life, is it not? He had fed 5,000 people. Then he walked on water. And then he taught on the clean, what was clean and unclean. He had healed this Syrophoenician girl. He had healed the deaf mute. Then he fed 4,000. Then he healed the blind man. If you look at the first seven chapters or the first eight chapters of Mark, you see Jesus was busy. He didn't just lounge around every day and just, he stayed busy. Matthew Henry says, that points out that many of his busy things, the things he was busy at, was miracles. And Henry says that one of the things he says about him, the miracles proved that he was Christ, that he was the Messiah. And then he said that knowing about the miracles, observing the miracles, would soften the message for the disciples about the cross and about suffering. Or that was Henry's interpretation of Jesus' hope. And he also says that miracles should even engage us or be a call to us to follow Jesus. If we follow him, but not just so he would do a miracle, we'll say, well, he can do anything. He can save us from our sin if he can do all of these miracles. Now, Jesus told the disciples not to spread the word about who he was at this time. That would come later. But it was not the time yet. But he gave a word about the future. The near future, not way out there sometime, the near future. And this was a word of sacrifice and suffering. Uh-oh. Been fun to this point, hadn't it? Sacrifice and suffering. Verse 31 says, then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and gets worse, that he must be killed, but then it gets good. The story is, be raised on the third day, or after 3 days, rise again. And the scriptures say he didn't mumble these words. He spoke plainly about them. He didn't mislead those who had chosen to follow him or those he had chosen to be his followers. He told them plainly what was ahead for them. It's going to get tough, boys. And I'm going to be killed. And they said, oh, but you're supposed to ascend to the throne. He said, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be rejected. It's not this earthly part that I'm interested in. And he was talking about the cross. He was talking about Calvary. That cross talk. That cross talk. We're not too crazy about that, are we? Painful. Carrying a cross. We've seen those weird guys that come through town carrying a cross, dragging it along, sleeping in the outside, probably in sackcloth and ashes, dirty. Hopefully it's ashes. He took a bath in his spirit ashes on himself, whoever. Talking about those guys that go through town with that, walking across the country with the cross. That crosstalk, it evoked a negative reaction from Peter. Peter took him off and said, Jesus, don't be talking about that. Don't be talking this way. You can't afford it. Everybody will leave you. You remember in John chapter 6 that when Jesus started talking seriously to those who had come to follow him, they all ran away. He said, this teaching is too hard. He looked at the disciples and said, are y'all going to run too? That's when Peter spoke up also and said, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. At least Peter was that smart. But this time, I don't know which came first or which, but this time Peter took him off and said, Jesus, let's don't talk about that. If you do, you're going to lose every follower you got, and we're going to have to close this work down. Basically, if you read it, I paraphrased a bit, but it's all there. Let's don't talk about sacrifice. Let's talk about the good things. And that rebuke from Peter, negative reaction, the Bible says rebuke, was met with a rebuke from Jesus. He said, Peter, if you go back to Matthew and see, you spoke for God, God spoke to you and revealed this to you, that He was the Christ. He says, Peter, you done started talking for the devil now. You're letting the devil have influence on you. You're letting him influence you. It's all in there, is it not? What verse is that? When Jesus turned and looked at His disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Get behind me, Satan." Boy, it doesn't take long to fall, does it? From knowing that He is the Christ and proclaiming it to being called Satan by the Christ. One thing, I've said it before, let me say it again. We don't rebuke Jesus. He knows a little bit more than we do. And what His Word says is what's important. Don't matter what we think. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Sometimes when we hear about the cross, or we hear about Jesus, we think, boy, and it's been preached, come to Jesus and you'll be okay. Come to Jesus and you'll be rich. Come to Jesus and you won't have any problems. Wrong. Sometimes our problems may be increased because we've come to Jesus. And that's what Jesus Himself experienced. More problems. Says Elton Trueblood, Quaker philosopher, says, occasionally we talk of Christianity as something that solves our problems, and there is in a sense which it does. A sense in which it does. But long before it does so, it increases both the number, or oftentimes increases both the number and the intensity of our problems. Last week I said, in one service at least, that sometime preaching you have to figure out what you need to do, what your response needs to do. In this one, there is no question about what we need to do. The road with Jesus, the road ahead, is defined. Self-denial, cross-bearing, and following Jesus. Self-denial. Oh, we don't like to talk about it. What do you think when you think about self-denial? We don't even like to think about it. But do you know that our economic times may be the best teacher that we could have to learn self-denial? Go back and read 2 Chronicles 7:14, and go back and read the verses that lead up to that. And when the world is going to Hades in a handbasket, when everything is falling apart, God told Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen, amen. Some people say, can you get an amen on that? Self-denial. Pope John Paul, he denied himself, but he became Pope. Do you know what his name was before he became Pope? It's a Polish name, and I couldn't say it easily, so I left it out. Didn't even make a note of it. He gave up his name. That was a form of denying himself. Many nuns do that. Our friend from Kentucky, Obadiah. You've met Obadiah. You've probably been hugged by Obadiah. Might have been kissed by Obadiah. Is that right? He'll kiss you. He'll kiss a man. That ain't his name. Do you know his name, Sam? Sam's been on... Huh? Gene. But he gave up his identity when he became a Christian and became a believer and denied who he was, in a sense, and said, I'm taking a Bible name. And he lives it. He lives it. But self-denying is putting our wants second to the will of God. I think Jesus expressed this. I know Jesus expressed this in, set the example for us in the garden experience on the night of his betrayal, where he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Let me tell a children's story. We go to the grocery store with the girls, and we walk in the door, and if I'd been smart enough, I'd have gone ahead and got them something there, and where they would be involved with that. But we'd go through the grocery store, and I'd be in a hurry, blah, 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 and we'd go through the grocery store, and everything one of them would see, she'd say, "Can I have that? No. Can I have that? No. Can I have that? No." And it was like a broken record. I was saying, "No, no, no, no." Never did think about getting them something right inside the door, something real cheap, and they wouldn't keep asking questions. But it was no, 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 no. What I was trying to do, I think, was teach them self-denial, but it was probably I was trying to teach them daddy denial. And you other parents can identify with this. I wanted to teach them, you don't get everything you want. And maybe I didn't have enough money to buy anything extra. I don't know, but I probably did. The next thing Jesus said, deny self, take up a cross, and follow me. Jesus said, follow him. Not me, him. I like two songs. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow him. And then the children's song this morning, I have decided to follow Jesus. Someone counted 20 instances in the Gospels where Jesus said to people, follow me. How do we follow Jesus? We learn what he did. Much of it was miracles. We say we can't do miracles. But there is so much of what Jesus did and taught that we can do. We can follow his life and we can follow his teachings. We can relate to people as he teaches us to it, as he did. We can offer forgiveness when somebody offends us. We can be a helper. We can be an encourager. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Can't do better as we approach Calvary and the resurrection. Let's stand together and sing 375. 375. Jesus calls us. He calls us as Christians to follow him. 375. First and last. Maybe your response is a public one this morning. If it is, come here to the altar. If it's to talk about giving your life or trusting Jesus as your Savior, could be just recommitting yourself for a period of the Lenten season to doing all you can, learning more about following Jesus. The kneeling rails invite you also. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May he cause his face to shine on us and be gracious to us as we follow him. Amen and amen. The girl. There she is.